I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to preach the beautiful name of Jesus. He walked closely with Jesus for 90 years. He was so thrilled to have this book, Jesus, be published. Inside are 16 of his sermons where you can discover who Jesus was, what he taught, how he lived, and the sacrifice he became. My dad wanted everyone to know Jesus and love him. For more information on how to receive a copy of the book, visit our website at cwh.org or call our office to order your copy. Through the month of December, Dad's messages will be all about Jesus coming to this world. Today in the message, God's Little Flock, Dad will deliver scripture that will help us and carry us through the struggles and trials that will come our way. Have your Bible ready and let's join Pastor Salem. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're going to have a special message today about God's little flock. So if you have a friend that maybe is lonely or down, feeling blue or discouraged, this will be a great sermon to hear because it talks about God's little flock and how he helps us and carries us and keeps us all through life. We're looking at Psalm 105 where the psalmist says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works, the works that he hath done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth." And Heavenly Father, we rejoice as we come into your presence today. And as we gather to worship you all over the world, we're gathering around the throne of grace. And we're praising your name for being such a great and a wonderful God and that you care for us and love us. Use this service to honor your name and to help your people. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Melissa has a song and you're going to know it, and you're going to love it. What child is this? And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? Angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise the song on high, the virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary. The babe, the Son of Mary.
Thank you, Melissa. And all this month, we're thinking about the dear Lord Jesus coming to this world, being our Savior, helping us through life, and taking us to be with himself when our work on earth is done. What a wonderful Savior. Well, we want to thank you for all of the cards and letters that you've sent, and we always like to share some of them. Want you to know that we read every letter we get. If you have a question, we try to answer that. And if you have prayer requests, we pray for you. And so here's some of the letters we got. We got one from Morton, Illinois. And this person writes, God bless you at the Christian Worship Hour. Your program has given me great peace and encouragement. Thank you. And you know, that's what God does. And I'll tell you how we work this. And we know that you're going to get peace and enjoyment and help because we're using the Word of God. And when you preach the Bible and when we teach the Word of God, God will always bless it. His Holy Spirit will bless you and give you comfort and help. And that's why we need to read the Bible every day and meditate upon it, because there is our strength and encouragement. Here's a letter from Venus, Florida. Thank you so much for proclaiming the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I always know I can take a deep breath and relax when I watch the Christian Worship Hour because there is no hype. The gospel speaks for itself, so thank you. Well, we sure don't have any hype, I can tell you that. We're pretty everyday people, and we're just plugging along and preaching the word. But we know that we're going to talk to your heart because we're using the Bible. That's the Holy Spirit. And it takes the Word of God, and He talks to you, and some of you need comfort, and some need strength, some need corrections, some need to change your ways. Some of you have never, ever accepted Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is knocking at your heart's door right now, and He's saying, I want you to open your heart to the Savior, and I hope you'll do that during this very service. Now, here's a nice letter from Sarasota, Florida. Now, listen to this. I'm an old retired animal dentist. An animal dentist. Thank you for all you do and the manner in which you do it. I'm very confident you will long outlive me, so here's the deal. We will meet at the Great Livestock Corral in heaven. If I get there before you, I'll leave the gate open. If you get there first, you can close it. Loving what you do. Now, do you think for a minute I'm going to close the door? Close the gate on an old animal dentist. My grace, I'll just keep that door wide open. If I beat you, I'll have the door wide open, Doc. You come on in. We'll talk about some of your experiences. I'll tell you some of mine. I never pulled any teeth or anything like that. I've given headaches, but I've never pulled teeth. Now, here's a nice letter from Overland Park, Kansas. Mom says, get on the internet and send him a PayPal. We watch you every Sunday. Love the old-time religion and the music. And so you want to know what PayPal is, and that's just anywhere in the world. You can send a gift to the Christian Worship Hour. And the way you do it is you get the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And on there, it'll say donate, and you hit that or whatever you do. I don't have a computer, so I don't know. But you access that donate, and it'll say PayPal. And that means that you'll send us a gift, and we'll be your pal. If you don't send us any money, we'll still be your pal. But if you send money, we'll be able to pay our way. So I hope that you'll consider that. Here is one from Elmo, Montana. Just wanted to donate to your services because I cannot get to a church. Your sermons are the only gospel I have. Now listen to this. I can't drive, have no family, and no friends to help me. I'm totally alone. Thank you for your prayers. And you know, when we get a letter like that, we pray for that person right away. And that's why the Christian Worship Hour, you ought to support it, and you ought to help us financially, because we're helping people that can't help themselves. And some of these people are isolated, and here she can't drive her car. She can't get around. And so this is her worship service. So you ought to help us, and I'm going to give you that address. I'm going to give it to you right now so you don't forget. It's the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And so you can help us by sending that, or send it ChristianWorshipHour.com. Now, here's a nice letter from Rapid City, South Dakota. And as you know, we've just published an article, a little booklet. It's a 10-page booklet. Can a Christian who commits suicide go to heaven? And the answer is yes, indeed. And so we've been sending out, we've sent over well over 500 already. And we sent him on a free will offering basis. So now she's writing about that article. And I want to say right off, it's a nice letter. She sent a gift, but she's asking a question. Here it is. I am concerned that you're making it too easy for our youth to commit suicide in good conscience. As long as they feel they are a child of God, then that is all good. It's like the news media saying the drugs are bad for you, but if you watch long enough, they will tell you not only how to make it, but how to use it. To me, it goes under the heading, too much info. I just can't help but think of the parents that are so brokenhearted by the loss of their loved ones. In knowing their loved one was a child of God surely helps. Their hearts are broken. Just maybe the suicide person didn't have such a clear passage, they would think about it a little more. Now, as I say, this is a nice letter, and she's just sharing something from her heart. But I want to tell you something, dear friends. The problem today is these pastors aren't giving enough info, not giving enough information. She says, too much information. And what we give is we give what God says. Now, I don't know if it causes people to commit suicide or not, but that's not my problem. My problem is I have to teach you what God says, come no matter what happens. And I've done it for 71 years. And sometimes people are upset with it. And the girls will say in the office, well, does those letters, or you get a letter like that, does it upset you? It doesn't upset me a bit if I'm preaching the Bible. If I got the Bible to support me, it doesn't bother me a bit. Now, you get this, you can write in and get this little booklet. And we hope you'll send a gift along with it. But if you don't have any money, we get letters from prisoners. They don't have money. We get some from Social Security people. Don't have any money. We send it free and postpaid. Somebody else will help us. But we're going to tell you exactly what God says about suicide. And he says that suicide is covered in the blood of the Lamb. And if you commit suicide and you're a Christian, you're with the Lord. You're saved. And so, God will use it and handle it just the way he wants. But I'm going to preach it, preach the whole thing, every bit of it. And now we've got a letter here that we want to read, and it's from Overland Park. No, this is from Elmo, Montana. And then here's one from, I'm going to have to hurry here, I'm getting short on time, Newton, Iowa. Let's all keep climbing the great ladder of love to our heavenly home. And I like that because this is a beautiful picture of walking with the Lord, and it's the ladder of love to our heavenly home. And so we just love the Lord, and we're climbing that ladder day by day. We're walking with the Lord, and every day the Lord is more real, and we're closer as we read the Bible and as we pray and study the Word of God. He'll help us and bless and direct us, and the end of the road is going to be heaven. And St. John talks about heaven, and he says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, the glory of the beauty of heaven. And he couldn't describe the beauty of heaven. And that won't that be something when we come to the end of the road? And here I am, 94, so I'm going to get there before too long. And it's going to be a glorious experience. I can't wait. And we're going to have our loved ones and our friends. There's nothing but, well, what does St. Paul say? For me to live is Christ. To die is gain, gain. Sometimes somebody's going to die, they'll say, prepare for the worst. Maybe that's true if you're not, it's true if you're not a Christian. But if you know the Lord, the best is yet to come. And here's this dear person writes about it. Now, one more letter I want to read is from Groveland, Florida. And this person writes and says, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me all my sins. I will do the best I can to please you in all I do. Jesus, come into my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? You know, that makes all of the labor and all of the giving and all of the praying worthwhile, because here's somebody that's come to Jesus. Now, we've written to this person. The minute we get this letter, we write to them. We send them a little packet that's put out by the Billy Graham Association. It's packets that he gives out at the Crusades. And it tells you how you can get started in the Christian life. And so when you give, when you can make a gift, you're having an investment in this. You're having a part in bringing people to Christ. And so we need your prayers. We need your gifts. So if you'd like to help us, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want to send the gift on PayPal, you can send it on the internet. Just get ChristianWorshipHour.com. And I know what some of you are saying. Well, what if I'm sending him all this money and he's getting all that money? What's he doing with it anyway? I bet he's got a great big car and everything else. Well, I got a nice car. I think it's around 40, 50,000 miles on it. Runs like a clock because I don't abuse it. And I never leave the city limits, so I'm okay, see? So I don't have any big fancy car. But here's how you can tell for sure if we're on the level. You get on the internet and you look up Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, ECFA. And there you'll find our budget. And there you'll find our audits. They audit our books. They check us for coming and going. Not only do we receipt every penny we get, but they check to see where we spend it and how we use it, ECFA. And so you don't need to worry about the money. We're going to do it, whether we're going to be honest with it, whether anybody checks us or not. But you don't know, so you check with this organization. It's an international organization. It checks organizations, many, many of them. Some of them don't join because they're not on the level. But those that are on the level and have integrity, like the Billy Graham Association, they're listed there, and we're listed with them. So God bless you. Now, one other thing I'd like to mention is every month we put out a little paper called The New Song, The New Song, and it has a little Bible study in it. And this month, the month of December, our Bible study is on What Shall We Name Him? What shall we name him? And you just love it. I know you enjoy it. And so you write for that. And we also have excerpts from letters that we get. And we have the sermon topics. And we have this text for the sermons. So we have everything's written into that little booklet, the little publication, The New Song. So you write to us. We'll send it free and postpaid. And my guess is that you will like it. So now we're going to just have a little prayer. Then Jan is going to play. And you ask God what he wants you to do. And if he says, well, don't give him anything, send it somewhere else, because there's other good programs too. But if he says, no, you got to help him, then you ask how much, and then he'll tell you. And then you fall off your chair, and then you get back on your chair, and then you write a check and send your gift. Whatever the Lord says, and he'll provide. If he wants a service done, he'll provide for it, won't he? So Heavenly Father, we just thank you now for over 36 years, you've had your people who have supported this work. A lot of those people are with you in glory already, right now. But yet, here's a new company with us, the people of God. And so we pray that you'll just guide and direct and have your way. And we'll put everything into your hands and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from Luke chapter 12 today, beginning with the 22nd verse. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to that. I know some of you folks get all dressed up and you sit right there and you have your Bibles and you sing with us and read the scriptures with us, and that's just wonderful. Luke chapter 12 and verse 22. And then in our prayer, we're going to pray for the brothers and sisters who are suffering and being martyred in Morocco. And every month, every week, we pray for Christian brothers and sisters in some part of the world that are suffering. So today it'll be Morocco. But first of all, look at these verses where Jesus said, He said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you by taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is in the is to the day in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not that what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful mind. For all these things do the Gentiles, the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you today that we can be a part of that little flock. And that doesn't mean that we won't have troubles and trials, because we will. You've told us not to be discouraged, because in this world you're going to have tribulation. And dear Lord, you surely had tribulations and trials. And if you as our master can do it, we will be glad to do it also. And so help us in the good times and the hard times to love you and trust you and to know that we are a part of that flock. And Lord, there may be some, I know there are many that are watching right now, and they're not a part of that flock. They've never received you into their heart, into their life. And I'm praying, we're praying here in the Christian Worship Hour, that the wonderful Holy Spirit will speak to them and help them to know that you love them and you will receive them no matter what their sins might be, that you'll receive them and they can become a part of that little flock, and that you'll bless and help them in life and in death. And Lord, we just want to pray especially for our brothers and sisters in Morocco. And we know that they're undergoing hard times, and some of them are giving their lives. And Lord, for those who gave their lives, that will be the greatest blessing that can ever happen to them, because they're in your presence, and we thank you for that. But we pray for those left behind, the widows and the children. Some of the children are orphans. And the older people, Lord, that have struggles and trials. And just help them to lean on you and never give up, but to just trust in the dear Lord Jesus. Now in this service, help us to keep our eyes on you and help us draw strength from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And Barb has a song entitled Between 12 and 33. God bless you, Ed.
You can read about his virgin birth, that holy night when he came down to says that he grew up in the town of Nazareth. The only childhood story about him was in the temple in Jerusalem. A boy became a man of destiny between 12 and 33. 18 years are a mystery. history. His last 3 years he made history. Became the Savior he was meant to be. Between 12 and 33. There's nothing written about his formative years. For a while it's like he just disappeared. And the Bible said that he grew wise and found favor in God's eyes. When he got older and the time had come, he started proving to the world who he was. Each step he took led straight to Calvary. Between 12 and 33. 18 years are a mystery. His last 3 years he changed history. Became the Savior he was meant to be. Between 12 and 33. 18 years for a mystery. His last 3 years he changed everything. Became the Savior he was meant to be. Between 12 and 33.
Well, thank you, Barb, and that's who we're talking about Jesus and this all this month, the emphasis on him coming to this world and being our Savior. And in this passage that we just read from Luke's Gospel, the 12th chapter, Jesus is talking to his followers, and there's a little group of people, and Jesus' followers, we're always going to be that little group. Because remember what Jesus said about the narrow road and the broad road? And he said, few there be that find it. And he says, many that travel that broad road go to destruction. And so that little flock, that little group are the people of God. And that's what we're looking at today. Jesus has he's likened his followers to a flock. And when he does that, he's talking about a little flock of sheep, a little band of sheep, we call them. And this little flock of sheep is surrounded by enemies, and they're in a hostile world. And I'm going to tell you, this world has always been against the things of God. And in the New Testament, after the coming of Jesus, this world has always been anti-Christ. And they've always fought against the things of the Lord. And look what they did to Jesus. They took him and did every despicable thing they could possibly do and finally crucified him. What a terrible thing. And so Jesus, if he did that to his followers, Jesus says, if they did that to the master, what do you think they'll do to the servants? So we have to be ready, and we have to be prepared to have these struggles and trials. But in the meantime, God looks upon us as a little flock of sheep and how he cares for them. And there, that's a beautiful picture, and it gives us great hope and joy. Listen to the beautiful words of the prophet Isaiah, and he talks about this little flock of sheep. He says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. So here's the picture. It's lambing season. And I know a little about this because my dad always had sheep. You know, we had about 3 cows on the place or 4 cows, and they were milk cows. And otherwise, he wouldn't have a cow on the place. It was sheep. He always had sheep. And so I know a lot about sheep. And when I'm talking about this, I can just vision it so carefully. and the flock are out in the pasture and they're grazing. It's early in the spring. And as a time to go back to the fold, well, maybe there's been a little lamb that's born out in the pasture during grazing time. And so this little lamb is too young to walk all the way back home. It'll never make it. And so here's the shepherd, the good shepherd. And he picks up that straggling little lamb. And he puts it and he lays his, and he lay, places it over his arm and close to his heart, close to his bosom. And then the shepherd takes that back to the fold. And another thing about it is that shepherd will walk slowly because there are other little lambs. They're not too strong either, and they have to keep up. And so Isaiah says, this is the way Isaiah says, he gently leads those that are with young. And that's what Jesus does for us. That's what God does for us. He gently leads us through this world. And sometimes we have our troubles and our trials, but you can always know that the shepherd is there and he cares and he knows just how fast we can travel. It's a beautiful picture of God in heaven, mindful of our every need. God says the same thing through his prophet Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, he says, "And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God." Of course, the Old Testament weren't talking about Christians. They weren't on the picture yet, but they're talking about the people of God, talking about Israel. But when you come to the New Testament, we find that this wonderful God is there to help us, and we become that flock. And so it is that God talks to Isaiah, and he tells Isaiah, comfort ye my people. And so Jesus is doing that now, and he's telling, comfort my people. And you know, the Christian worship hour, we have three goals in our mission statement. The first is to bring glory to God, to honor God. The second is to bring people to Christ, people that haven't accepted Jesus. And unless you accept Jesus, you have no hope of heaven, but only eternal torment where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's all your future is. You have to have the Savior. And so the second thing we really, really push and pray about is that people accept Jesus. And the third thing we have, the third goal, is to comfort God's people. It's the elderly, but not always the elderly. I find some young people that are going through some tough times. And a 13-year-old that committed suicide because the tough times were too tough. So it isn't always the old people. So that we want to comfort God's people. And that's telling us what to do. So God says that he's going to take care of us and he's going to help us. And if we will do that ministry, and we can all do this thing, it doesn't have to be an organization. Every one of us can help God's people and encourage God's people. That's got to be our business. And so this is it's really a command from God, and God is telling us to do that and to follow him. So God promises to watch over his people. He promises never to leave them, never to forsake them. He says that he will give them comfort and help, and God will always keep his word. Listen to Hebrews 6, verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before them. God cannot lie, and when he gives us his word, you can count on it. And so the sheep, that's the sheep. Now we want to look at the shepherd. And the Bible is filled with references to shepherds, and some of them are good and some of them are bad. Some were evil and didn't care for the sheep. And so Isaiah talks about the shepherd carrying the baby lambs and walking slowly for the newborn ones, and that they can carry along and come along. Isaiah wants us to see the kind of shepherd that he is because it's a picture of Jesus. And when you come to the New Testament, you find it's a description of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 10. The 11th verse tells us, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Now, David starts to talk in the 23rd Psalm about the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He didn't know Jesus. He just knew God was a great shepherd. But now Jesus coming says, I am that shepherd that David talked about. And I'm the shepherd of Isaiah. And I'm the shepherd of Jeremiah. And I'm the shepherd of Ezekiel in the Old Testament. Jesus says that I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Then Jesus went on. This is what he said. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay it down, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, he says, Jesus said. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I to receive from my Father. So Jesus is telling us here that he comes, and he's gentle, and he's kind, and he's loving, and he's laying down his life for the sheep, and he lays it down of himself. I read somebody where they're talking about Jesus and how that he had no choice in the matter. Jesus could have come down from that cross in a moment's time. They couldn't have touched Jesus Christ. He could have called legions of angels to put down those wicked men that took his life. But he laid down his life because he loved the sheep. Greater hath no man love than this, that a man lay down his life for the sheep. And so this Lord Jesus Christ, this wonderful Jesus, he is the Son of God. He's the Son of God. And this wonderful Jesus Christ has no peers, no equals. He's one of a kind. There's no one else like him. He is God and he is man. He is both. And there was a time when that wasn't there until you come to Christmas, until you come to the Advent. And then God became man, and he was God-man, and he's the only one like that. Now, we have God in our life when we accept Jesus, but we became the sons and daughters of God at a given point in time when we accepted Jesus. But Jesus always was the Son of God. From time eternity, there wasn't a time he wasn't the Son of God. And so Jesus says, to whom will you liken me? And we have to say there's no peers, no one to liken him to. So Jesus is pictured in both the Old and the New Testament. In the New Testament is a loving and caring shepherd. In the Old Testament, he's represented as the God of the ages, the Ancient of Days. He's shown as having all power and might, and yet caring for his people, loving his people. He always had that love of God because God is love. The very first person, this very person becomes a shepherd when we own his cause. And we can be a part of that flock, but you have to receive Jesus into your life. The only way to be a part of that flock of Jesus Christ is to receive him as your Savior, to ask him to say, Dear Jesus, I've sinned against you, and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll forsake my sins and turn from my evil ways, because repentance is a part of it. Jesus taught repentance, and repentance is turning away from our evil ways the best we can and walking with the Lord Jesus. So let's look at this little flock for a minute or two. He said, Isaiah cries out, and God tells Isaiah, I want you to comfort my people. And then Isaiah says, what shall I tell them? This is in the 40th chapter of Isaiah. And he says, what shall I tell them? What will I cry unto them and to comfort them? And so this God says, this is what I want you to tell them. Listen, this is what he wants Isaiah to tell these people. He's going to comfort them. This is what he tells them. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is of the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, flower fadeth, the word of our God endures forever. And you say, wow, what comfort is there in that? But this is what God does, because he says, you have to realize that you are nothing. You have to realize that if you have eternal life, it is not a thing you did. You are like grass. You're cut down in the morning and you're withered by the evening. He's saying that all flesh is grass and all the glory of man is just like the flower of grass and is gone in a moment, gone in a time, withered and gone. But the word of the Lord will abide forever. And what God is doing here, he's telling us that this wonderful God, we are like grass that are cut down and withered. I've seen so many of my friends go, and I'll go too. They're gone. But the word of the Lord abideth forever. He changeth not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there we get the comfort. Comfort ye my people. And that simply is, I have nothing in myself, but God has everything. And I come to him and I repent and turn from my ways. Ask him to save me, and he saves me, and he makes me a child of his flock, a family of God, a part of his body. That's comfort to me to know. I belong to God, and I'm safe. Dr. Ironside, a good old preacher of another day, put it like this way. The first part of this message may not sound very comforting, and yet God must begin that way. God wounds that he may heal. He kills that he may make alive. We never knew him in the fullness of his power to sustain and comfort until we come to the end of our resources when we don't know which way to turn. Then we turn to the dear Lord Jesus Christ and find power and strength and help in him. You know, these people that are so self-sufficient, they maybe have wealth and they maybe have power, and they strut in their power and they don't need God and they don't need Jesus Christ. But when they're bed on that bed and they're so sick they can't lift up their head and their wealth is gone and their health is gone and their friends are gone and they're broken and they're ready to turn to God. Why, my friends, there's those who are proud will never receive Jesus. We have to humble ourselves and see our sinfulness and that all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. And in the sight of God, there is no good thing in any of us. And it is only through Jesus. We have to have Jesus. That's where the comfort comes from, to show a man exactly what the situation is and then have him come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Put their faith in him. God's little flock, when we accept him, well, then the first of all, we can say we're a purchased possession. We were lost in sin, but Jesus came. And on the old rugged cross, he shed his blood to pay for our sins. That wonderful Lord Jesus Christ was raised the third day, and he lives forever at the right hand of God. And this is no small matter because nothing can take away sins. The only thing that'll take away sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. And if we have all the money in the world and own the whole world, we can't pay for our sins. There's a beautiful picture in Isaiah. And Isaiah puts it like this in Isaiah 40, verse 16. It says, Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. And what he is saying is, all of Lebanon's forests put together would not be sufficient fuel to consume all the animals in Lebanon and the world to take away one sin. Now, that's quite a picture. He's saying if you took all the cedars of Lebanon for fuel, well, if you sacrifice them on every animal in Lebanon and all of the beautiful cedars of Lebanon, you wouldn't take away one speck of your sin. Now think of that. All the cedars of Lebanon. You ever hear about the cedars of Lebanon? Let me tell you about them. The Lebanon cedar has always been the national emblem of Lebanon, and it is seen in the Lebanese flag. And it's the logo on the Middle East Airlines, which is Lebanon's national character. In Lebanon, there are about 375 cedars of great age standing. The cedar of Lebanon is mentioned 71 times in the Bible. These ancient trees were so beautiful and majestic that they're beyond description. One of them is 130 feet tall, 13 stories tall. I've seen it. It's amazing. They are, some of those cedars are so high that they have lightning rods at the top of them to keep the lightning from striking them. These cedars are, so one tree is 9 feet in diameter, and they're over 1,000 years old and thriving. That means they're 1,000 years old and still growing. The cedars of Lebanon, that's today, right now. Get it on, Google it, and take a look at them if you want to. I'm not making this up. Four of the trees are thought to be several thousand years old. That is, it means that when Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees and came to the promised land, they were saplings. Now Isaiah is saying, take those beautiful trees, take them and make an altar out of them. Burn all of those trees, those beautiful trees. And by the way, if you cut a limb off of the cedar of Lebanon, they say they'll cut your arm off. I don't know. I didn't try it. But these trees are beautiful. And he says you can make the biggest offering in the whole world with the beautiful cedars and all of the animals of the land, and you won't get rid of a single sin, not one. It's Jesus alone dying on the cross, agonizing, dying, and shedding his precious blood. And so why? What is that all for? Why is he doing that? It is because he's purchasing our salvation so we can be a part of that little flock. God bless Jesus. There's no other way. And so this little flock is a purchased possession, and we are favored. God favors us and loves us. And you say, well, with all the martyrdom, I still see how he's favoring us. But I'm going to tell you, these martyrs, I'm reading stories of them, and they are glad to give their life for Christ Jesus. I wish I could say that, but if I ran right up against it, I'd probably run the other way. I don't know. I wouldn't trust myself. But these people are dying, just praising Jesus, in Arabic, praising Jesus. Praise God. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ here, he favors us. And he blesses us. And what a witness they make. They make a witness and they're saying, we are making a witness for the whole world. And the widows are saying, oh, we were proud of our husband because he didn't deny Jesus. And he's sending a message over the whole world. And these are favored people because they're helping other people come to Christ. And when they see the devotion of these martyrs and these people that love the Lord, and giving their life for the Lord, oh, they're willing to give themselves, and God favors and blesses us. And oh, won't there be rejoicing in heaven when they stand before the King and they've given their life to the Lord? And another thing about that little flock, they are safe. We're safe. We're totally safe. Men find comfort in numbers or in armaments. Christians find safety in God. And we always have God. And maybe today you're alone, but you're safe just the same. And so don't worry about the things to come, about crime and about old age and about what's going to happen. God tells us, little flock, fear not. Don't be afraid. Just put your faith in Jesus. Lean on Jesus. Put all you have on Jesus. But so many times we just get to worrying. I give things to Jesus. I have something I'm concerned about. I give it to Jesus. I'm just so happy. And I'll lay down to go to sleep. Before I can go to sleep, I'm worrying about it. And what am I taking it back for? Give it to Jesus. Somebody had to put it like this. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me. The birds have more sense than a Christian that's worrying and fretting and fussing. Lean on Jesus and then remember we're blessed. He blesses us how many times and how many ways he blesses us with material blessings, but most of all, the blessings that count, the spiritual blessings. And oh, my friend, that he blesses us. That doesn't mean we won't have troubles and trials in this world. We're going to have them, plenty of them. But these trials, they can be a part of our blessing. Take those blessings, take those sorrows and those troubles and trials and make them a blessing because of what they do for us and what they do for others and how it helps us to honor God. That's what St. Paul did. He had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was, but it hurt him. He begged God to take it, and God said no. And what did Paul say? Well, oh God, I've been preaching all the way I have, and I've been doing everything I can, and then, well, you don't even help me, and I'm just gonna lose my faith. No, what did Paul say when all of his sufferings? He says, I glory in my infirmity. He's holding it up like a flag to let everybody see that even in his sufferings and his sorrows, he loves Jesus. And he's echoing the words of Job of the ages old, where Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And when I come out of these things, he says, I'm going to be like beautiful gold, tried like gold, fine as gold. And so the trial, though we live this way, we have the nearness of Christ, rather than nearness of the Lord. Jesus taught us in John 16, verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And remember what St. Paul said in Romans 8, verse 18? I reckon, when he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So don't be upset and worried and fret about the tribulations. Jesus had plenty of them. The apostles had plenty of them. The early Christian church had plenty of troubles and trials. And the present day church, right this century, right this year, this very hour, suffering for Christ. Rejoice that you can do that. Man, dear friends, what we have to do is we have to learn to pray like Jesus taught us to pray. Thy will be done. Or you can say, as in the prayed in Matthew 11, 26, when we prayed, Jesus prayed, and nobody understood what it was all about. And Jesus prayed, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. When we pray that, it means that we're in harmony with the will of God. And no matter, it may have to take that cup, and he may go to that cross, and he may suffer and bleed and die. Even so, Father, he's given himself to him. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. You know, that's happening today among Christian people. Here's a young mother, and she has three little children. And the doctor says, your husband only has 3 months to live. He's going to be gone. And in facing the impending death of her husband, and the young mother's able to say, Lord, I thank you for the years we've had together. And Lord, I'm just going to trust you in the days that lie ahead. And Lord, I don't know why you're taking him away. What that woman was really saying is what Jesus was saying. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy will, in thy sight. Give it to Jesus. And so when we love the Lord Jesus and trust him, lean upon him, he'll help us and take us through. And that will never fail, never end. He'll always be there today. And so what we need to do today is to do two things. First of all, enter into that flock, be a part of that flock. And then if you're a part of that flock, just rest in it and trust in it. Quit fussing. Stop worrying. Give it to Jesus. Lean all your weight on him. Be like the man who's on this island. And there he was all alone on this island. And all he had was a little canoe. The canoe was just as long as he was. He could lay in it, and that's all. And the tide came in. The tide is 10 feet deep. And so he lays in the canoe, and the water comes in, and the little canoe bears him up. Jesus is that canoe. And no matter what happens, he's there to help you. So I'm praying that you'll just make that prayer, ask Jesus to come into your heart. And then if you do, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We need your help. You need to help us financially. So you pray about it and do what God says. and we'll go just as far as He takes us and far as He makes it possible. It's all in your hands, the hands of the people of God. And to those of you who are hurting and hurting today, I'm going to pray for you right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray especially for those on beds of sickness, those who are shut in, those who are aged, young people, Lord, that are perplexed and discouraged, and help us just to lean on You, putting all things in Your hands. And we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to say, if you accepted the Lord, you need some help with starting your Christian life, you write to us. We'll send it to the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or ChristianWorshipHour.com. And so now we're going to be praying for you and thinking about you this coming week. And we just hope that you'll pray for us and pray for this ministry. We only have three things in mind. Honor God, bring the lost to Jesus, and help those who are struggling and hurting. That's our goal. And we do it with the Word of God, the precious Word of God. That's where the power is. And when we have the Word of God, we have authority. We can say, thus saith the Lord. We don't back down for anybody or anything. And when we lean on the Lord, no fears worry us. No one can take us. We belong to Jesus. So God bless you. And we'll be thinking about you this week. And we want you to know God loves you. We love you. That's why we have this ministry, because we love your soul. We love your. We want you to get help as you trust Jesus. That's our goal in Jesus' name. And so God bless you. And we're going to be thinking about you. If you want to write to us, be sure to drop that letter. We'll be looking for it. And we'll carry on as long as God makes it possible. We just ask God to bless and watch over each one. And we pray it in the Savior's name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. His name. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon His name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.